Hello, in this podcast I'll give a bit of a brain dump about scattering. It's a physics science term, but you'll most recognize it, say, when you're playing billiards, a ball go in and it will scatter off in different directions. Scatterbrain. Most common, closest view possibly is playing baseball, where the pitcher pitches at the hitter. I don't know what you call the hitter there, the batsman, or in cricket, and the batsman then scatters the ball and everyone has to run to get it. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. Now, to start off with, you'd think scattering, there's some interesting things about it, but in general it tells you a little bit about the ball you're throwing, that tells you a bit about the batsman. You don't really expect to see extreme beauty in scattering. And when I say beauty, I actually do mean beautiful rainbows, colours, you know, things go wow about to do with scattering. And so the scattering that you can see is the scattering of light. Light comes in, hits something, bounces off and goes in particular directions. And if it goes in just all directions, it's pretty well, I suppose, boring, so to speak. And the first thing I want to do is tell you this sort of sideways step in scattering. So I did in my physics degree, everyone does it in their physics degree, scattering matrices. This is where you put the vector of what's going in, it undergoes a scattering, and there's a vector of it going out, and there's a process involved. Can be quite involved, and so it's something you do in physics to look at it. And you don't think, oh, it's not all that much. You draw a few diagrams, you can see it will wiggle at different angles. So if it's not always just a circular scattering, there's these lobes. It's a bit like an antenna. There's lobes in certain directions. So you see that and you say, oh, that's interesting. I'll put that in the back of my brain for interest's sake. And that was, for me, was scattering. I looked at a few, I suppose, interesting things of nuclear scattering and things like that. But by and large, I wasn't too plussed by them. Now, it came to pass that I had to stop my job as a robotics scientist and get a job as a teacher. And as a teacher, they said, look, we don't understand your PhD. Go and do a second BSc. And I would know they were serious. Do a second BSc. So that was okay. And part of the second BSc up at UTS, the University of Technology Sydney, up in one of their towers there, they had an experiment for me to do, and they wanted me to measure optically the band gap of cadmium sulfide. So cadmium sulfide is a semiconductor. Semiconductors are famous for band gaps, but by this stage I had a new angle of band gaps. I used to actually process optical fibers with basically making a crystal inside an optical fiber, which a crystal is a diffraction grating. I would vary the refractive index inside an optical fiber, make a crystal inside, and actually create an artificial band gap. So I knew very much how I was going to do this. I knew that I wasn't going to put a very large layer of cadmium sulfide down. I put a very thin layer of cadmium sulfide down, and that would give me a very, I suppose, a weak absorption, which I could get the width of it. So if it's a very strong absorption, it goes up very quickly to 100%, and you can get an artificially large width of the band gap. Now, what happens is that the way that I did this is I had a glass slide, cleaned it off with detergent, the standard sort of things, scoured it clean, cleaned it with solvent, then iron, etched it in a vacuum chamber, and then laid down a very thin layer of cadmium sulfate, so it was just barely visible. I stuck it in the spectrometer, which fired through a diffraction grating different wavelengths of light, so blue to deep infrared. So you get your cadmium sulfide out of the way. You put it in and it measures the wavelength of light, so which varies at different wavelengths, but by putting it through with no sample there, you can get it normalized, so it's just the same amount each time. I put it in, and there you had a nice band gap that I could measure. It didn't reach saturation, so I could actually apply half width at full maximum, the width measuring technique between certain wavelengths. And I suppose just from experience, I just let the spectrometer run the whole wavelength for the full wavelength range. I was very much used to making optical fiber components, Bragg gratings and optical fibers, which you did that just to check for other features. There's a band edges and other aspects that you can see in optical fibers. And I saw this very curious phenomenon that at long wavelength, after the band gap region, at long wavelength, it began to oscillate, be a sine wave, up and down, up and down. Now, in optical fibers, this is often an example of coupling to a cladding mode, something very funny, but this was just a sheet, a glass slide with cadmium sulfide on. So what was going on there? So I thought for a while and said, look, there must be some structure in there which it is scattering of. Indeed, that led me to research the full set of scattering. I had done Rayleigh scattering and Raman scattering. I'll go into what these are in a little bit later. And this is an area of science called Mie scattering, M-I-E scattering. So this is a more general scattering. And this was telling me that what's happening is that the glass slide was actually flicking the light off left to right as at different wavelengths. There was no structure, there was no diffraction grating here. No matter how I oriented the slide inside, it still had the same spectrum. The actual material itself was scattering in a radial, in a sort of a circle, different colours. And this in effect is a little rainbow effect. So I tucked it away and then began to research a little bit more about Mie scattering. Mie scattering is used in diffusers, such as you have light behind a light source behind an LED light source, and the Mie scatterer in the front tends to scatter the light fairly evenly out. So it's basically if you put any sort of fine milky film, you know. And so a year or so passed, and I was in my swimming pool up here in the Blue Mountains, and I looked up and I saw this brilliant mauve and sort of greenish coloured cloud in the sky. It was a full-on rainbow cloud, and I said, my goodness, that's my scattering. And as soon as I saw that, my world changed. I began to actually see my scattering everywhere, and in fact it looked much stronger with polaroid ons. So I do recommend, if you're a science buff, always wear a pair of polaroid glasses. So just a small aside, rainbows are completely polarized, so if you wear polaroid glasses, the rainbows twice as intense with polaroid glasses. Of course, if you rotate your polaroid glasses, you can actually switch off the rainbow completely. I sort of rather like that. But for my scattering, you can see it's generally about, you've got the sun about 5 degrees away from the sun, you get this colourful effect of my scattering. And I began to work out what was going on, and you always see it pretty well almost every afternoon. Not a very sometimes a full cloud, you see a full cloud, but often the edge of clouds up in the Blue Mountains. We're sort of rather lucky because we have the moist air comes in from the Indian Ocean up around Indonesia, dumps all the rain, and the last gasp of moisture dumps on the Blue Mountains when it comes here before it goes on its way to New Zealand, the rains from that area. And so what happens when it hits the Blue Mountains, there's an updraft, and you get young cloud formation. And so this is a small aside. To get my scattering, you need uniform droplet size. You can't, if you have different droplet sizes, the different droplet sizes will scramble the colours and you'll just get a white cloud. Indeed, white clouds are my scattering, and there's heaps of examples of it. Your milk is my scattering. The actual softness of your flesh is again my scattering. Your skin cells are more or less clear surface, has material inside it, so the light goes inside. The light, when light hits you, it goes inside and bounces around inside you and comes out over a distance. So this is what flesh looks like. Flesh is basically clouds. We are actually, I suppose, to reptiles and robots, cloud animals. So let me get back into some of the physics of what's going on. So the Mossbauer effect is down at the nuclear level. So this is a gamma ray coming from a nucleus. Now we'll put that off to the side. In general, what scattering is light comes in, interacts with an object, and bounces off at a different direction. That's the definition of scattering. And what effect it happens is that light is an electromagnetic wave, and an atom is an electron and a nucleus. So it's a little, if you like, a little antenna. And a little mobile phone, if you'd like to say. It's a miniature little circuit, and you excite it with the light energy, and it will transition to a stable state, an excited state, where it oscillates stably at a different rate, but in general it doesn't, so it sort of thinks about it. So it's called a virtual state. So when light comes in, it excites the atom up to a virtual state, and it then drops down. But when it drops down, it will then radiate as an atom. It's like a little antenna. And you can do the equations for this fairly simple. You get the E and the B wave, get something called an A pointing vector, radiates as a dipole antenna. So the light comes in from a particular direction all the way from the sun, but then it radiates out as a dipole antenna. And depending on how close it is to one of these resonances, this is rather strong. So the first elastic stuff is that, so this is, say, light comes in and comes out, and there's only a slight loss of energy due to a momentum transfer, this process. So light has a momentum and is obviously traveling in a different direction. There's a small momentum transfer, but very, very small. So this process is an elastic process, and this initial process is called the Rayleigh process. And it's sort of tucked away in a larger equation called the Mie scattering equation. So Rayleigh scattering occurs. Now, depending on your gas, Rayleigh scattering is dependent on the refractive index of the gas, and the refractive index of the gas is dependent on the availability of an energy level. So just to give you an idea, helium is 10 times less. As helium's got very highly spaced energy level and energy levels, so it's easily 10 times less good at scattering than nitrogen or oxygen, which have energy levels in abundance just close to the optical wavelengths coming across. So depending on your gas, you'll get a different amount of scattering, and it follows a one on the wavelength to the fourth power. So if you halve your wavelength, you increase the amount of scattering by a factor of 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, 16. 2 times 2 is 4 times 2 is 8 times 2 is 16. So the amount of scattering increases. And this is, in general, why the sky is blue. It's rather sort of nice to look up at the sky blue. It's the scattering off to the side. So the blue wavelengths scatter more, so that light comes through and it scatters as a dipole antenna. And these antennas are polarization sensitive. So if you wear again Polaroid glasses, and bear in mind that birds also have Polaroid visions, you can actually see the effect of the polarization of scattered light. You can cancel it out. So if you look up, you'll see the sky is visibly darker, but the clouds, which are scattering more randomly, will appear light. And the darkness is at 90 degrees. The full darkness, the greatest polarization, is at 90 degrees to the sun. So if you've got the sun, you look 90 degrees to it, the sky will be dark. And that's how birds, if they can't see the sun, they can definitely tell where the sun is by the darkness of the sky. So they can look at that. So that's elastic scattering. That's elastic scattering. So Rayleigh scattering is elastic scattering. There is inelastic scattering. So if you have a virtual level and you've got multiple ground state levels, you can go to higher or lower ground state levels. So you get your atom, you disturb it, and then it collapses down. If it's inelastic, you'll get something called Raman scattering. So you can actually get slightly redder or slightly bluer light. This is a very small effect, except if you sort of pump these babies full of laser light, you can get it. So this Rayleigh scattering and Raman scattering. So this is the basic scattering of a bound atomic scatterer. It's 1 on lambda to the fourth, and dependent on the actual atom itself. Now, for the same sort of physics, or slightly boring in actual fact, it's Compton scattering, which is inelastic scattering. A photon comes in and hits a free electron in a plasma and transfers a unit of energy to it. So Compton scattering. And Thompson scattering is the equivalent of Rayleigh scattering. They're in plasmas, and that's relevant in a plasma like the sun, but on Earth it's Rayleigh scattering and a very tiny amount of Raman scattering. Rayleigh scattering goes at lambda to the fourth, but when the actual number of scatterers form a little droplet and they form a little component together, they can actually act as a more complex antenna. So you get higher orders of the antenna operating, and so you get lobes of at different angles as you excite this, and quantum mechanically you go around, you get different modes, quadrupole modes, other modes in your light. And Raman scattering is, I suppose a donut shape. Rayleigh scattering is a donut shape. My scattering, which includes Rayleigh scattering, but goes up as you increase particle size, so the particle size starts to get in sync to the size of the wavelength. And so if you actually think of it, all the actual scatterers in that little circular droplet, actually begin to radiate coherently and interfere. So it's like a whole lot of dipole antennas interfering with each other to produce a interference, a constructive and destructive interference at different angles as you go up through the drops. You suddenly get the angular effect. And so this type of scattering occurs if you look up at the sun and it's a, if there's any moisture in the atmosphere, you'll have this white haze around the sun. And up to about, say, 10 degrees, which is the actual my scattering radius. My scattering tends to be very forward focused. It tends to shower the light, sort of bounce the light at only a slight angle, or bounce the light at back at 100 degrees, say 170 to 190 degrees going backwards. You've got this ring. So if you up at night and you look up at the moon, you'll often see a ring of white around the room at the moon. So the moon will be sitting in a disk. If you've got a full moon, you'll have a disk of a slight white cloud if there's any atmospheric clouds above it. And beyond that, you might even see a red-brown tinge, or if you're very, very lucky, you'll see a rainbow. And so the my scattering rainbow is not like your classic rainbow, which is the light has to go inside a liquid droplet. This is scattering off liquid droplets. If the liquid droplets are all the same size and they're all doing the same thing, you'll see these colours. So the most I've seen is three or four, a brownish ring. That's what the colour is. I judge it at green and then brown again. But I've seen photographs of multiple rings around the moon. So go and have a look at it. I suppose one of the most fascinating things is that I walk around the place and I say, people say, "Hey, what are you looking at?" And I say, "Up there, it's a my scattering cloud, just 5 degrees off here." And I give the people my sunnies to have a look. If I do, I keep on breaking my Polaroid glasses, so I don't have any at the moment. I'm rather sad. It's sad that I don't. And they say, "Look, I can't see it." And it's, for me, it's a very profound thing that the people have. It was true for me. I could not see it until I educated myself about it. And these people often say, "Oh, look, mate, there's nothing to be seen." It is interesting that people in a certain mood, when they're relaxed and they're not stressed about anything, they can actually see these rainbow clouds. So getting back on, once the water droplet gets up and to the same size, you get the my scattering. Now, there's other examples of my scattering around, particularly you see that tinge, the colour, it's also the direction which tells you. Dew in the morning is another example. If you have the morning, the sun is low, it's coming in, hitting the dew drops and coming along and producing it. You also get another scattering of spider webs. They can often be coloured, or the actual scratches on a piece of glass can be coloured. Very similar. They're not diffraction gratings because it's a single scratch. You can't get, well, I suppose you get diffraction. It is it. Well, it is. It goes in towards diffraction anyway. So my scattering there. Some fur is excellent my scattering, and obviously flesh, and people often get put nanoparticles on their face. That's your cosmetics to increase the my scattering, the depth of your face. So you don't want to slap on a hard reflector. You don't want to put liquid paper on your face. You want to put a soft my scatterer, so the light hits in, goes into your flesh, and the flesh comes out, and it's rather good. You can actually see into a person a little way, and so if they're healthy, you can actually see they've got this very milky flesh. There's no vascularity. There's, you know, it's a good healthy flesh that you can see. The main thing with my scattering to get the colour effect is to actually get particle size the same. So it hits the dew point, all the dew particles grow at the same size, and then you get that beautiful colour. So it gives you a statistical view about what's out there if you can actually see the colour. And you can actually get my scattering. I often look at it when you put some hot food in a container and put the container lid on very quickly. And the container lid must be quite dry, and it puts on the top, and you will see steam form on the top. And the steam, there's this, the local school. I have to finish up pretty soon. Steam will occur on the surface here, and you will see for a very short time when the steam droplets first begin to form, they're all of pretty much the same size, and you'll see this characteristic green color, green and reddish tinge to it, and you can actually see the mye scattering of that. And you can just keep on going through the different scattering. If you want to get onto the internet, look up rainbow cloud and you'll see examples of scattering. I don't know if you live in a... basically, if you look above mountains where clouds form out, perhaps it's out to sea. There's often pictures out to sea. In fact, every day you can see mice scattering around. If you look in the mirror and look at your own flesh, there's mice scattering. The sort of the light, you hit yourself with a laser light. The laser light bounces around and illuminates a large sort of circle of your skin, which is to do with the mice scattering. So let's go in summary here. As you go after mice scattering, it becomes optical scattering. Optical of objects, and you can still do it and go after that. So we go from Rayleigh to Mie. So Rayleigh is a special case of Mie scattering. It's just for a simple dipole scatterer. And then as you get a more complex antenna, you get the Mie scattering, which has got wavelength dependence, and if it gets large enough, it's just an optical scattering, like of an optical sphere. There's still a lot of physics of what's going on. The actual optical sphere now occludes the wave, and behind the wave you get diffraction patterns. And so basically with sticking in with it, you've got more or less overlapping physics, which allows you to see everything. And this is a electron proton or electron atom bound scatterer, so that's actually a unit antenna. If you don't have an antenna, it's unbound, it's a plasma. Rayleigh scattering, which is elastic, Raman scattering, which is inelastic, goes to Thompson scattering, which is elastic scattering of light in a plasma, to and to Compton scattering, which is inelastic scattering. So that's how it all goes. This is just basically, I thought I'd have a basic data dump, as I have seen some, I suppose it's all put me off. On the weekend I put my spaghetti in a box, and I saw mice scattering on the lid, so I thought, oh look, I'll have to have a bit of a data dump. In general, it's all relatively easy to get the different angular equations, and the matrix equations are not all that hard. You just have to stick with them. And I suppose the most interesting aspect is to go through and pull out the polarization. So all of these effects are highly polarized. So that's all for now. Thanks for listening, and in the meantime, keep on doing science.